Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
We're back. It's a Saturday afternoon. And because of not only the cataclysmic crisis called COVID-19, add to that the extenuating circumstances of people of color being killed around the United States of America, around the world, as a matter of fact, leading up to one hell of an outburst from the populace of the United States of America. We're here to talk about that. Normally, we only talk about music with people who make music, for people who make music and do business in the music world. But today, the You Heard It Here First team is talking about what's going on in America today, what's going on in the world, how we feel about it, what, if anything, we want to share with each other about how we're keeping our sanity, what our observation is, and how we feel about that. That being said, I want to bring on my co-host and good friend for a long time, Wild Bill Turner, who's the other half of the You Heard It Here First radio broadcast team. Of course, we also have with us Joe Montaldo, who is the station and network owner for UPRN Talk Radio. FM 107.7, FM 107.5, coming to you live out of Mattery, Louisiana, and Christian Pass, Mississippi, respectively. Welcome everybody around the world, 500 cities across America,
160 countries around the world. You have reached the voicemail box of 8104238250.
Rhonda Clark, let us know
at the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Okay, let's find the button and let her know that we are looking for her. One of our guests today. So, Wild Bill, tell the world who we have rolling with us this afternoon.
Well, I'm going to say this.
Name, but I know everybody's extremely relevant and significant and impressive.
I'm going to say this. Go ahead. We have one of the fathers of what we call hip-hop, what we call political commentary. We had one of the original last poets, Mr. Umar Bin Hasan from The Last Poet. Everybody remembers This Must Be Madness. And we have somebody else who's from the No Limit era, great, great brother, Mr. Servon.
Hello?
Say hello, gentlemen.
We got some history in the house.
Yeah, this is Umar Bin Hasan. Are you asking me anything?
Just say hello.
Because I'm getting a lot of interference on my phone from other phone calls and stuff. I lose y'all for a minute in the summer. Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead.
We're here. We want to ask you, since a lot of this is going on, we had the COVID-19, we have this police brutality. What is your feelings about this whole situation that's going on right now, you being an elder statesman?
Well, first of all, excuse me, I'm very proud of the young people in America, the black and the white young people. I think they realize that, you know, they're getting tired of this. They're getting tired of this because basically for the last, 5 or 6, 10 years, they've been interacting with each other in junior high school, elementary school, and college. And they realize, you know, if we're going to be together, we got to stop, you know, letting one group of people being beat up on and brutalized while some of us can go home to our homes and feel safer. And so I'm really proud that these young kids have come out like the way they have, the white ones and the black ones. And now it seems like I'm looking at this thing now, where it seems like white people they still want to march and get things done. But it's beautiful, man. I think it's a good thing that's happened. I really do. I think it's a wonderful thing happening to America.
Well, that is great. That is great. Well, we're going to ask the same question to our younger brother, one of our favorite brothers, Mr. Servon. Let's see your viewpoint, brother. Hello? Mr. Sir? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
No, this is your mom, Ben Hanson. I've talked to you.
Yes. I thought we had Mr. Servon on, one of our brothers. But yeah, you can elaborate more. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this different from the 67 riots?
Well, listen, brother, in my hometown of Akron, Ohio, back in 1957, we had a little riot for the same thing. We got tired of the Akron Police Department.
Yo.
Hello. Come on.
How you doing?
Oh, well, sir, hold on 1 minute. We're going to let the brother from the last poet speak. Keep going on.
Okay.
Talk about what was happening in Akron, Ohio. Sir?
Yeah, I'm
right
here.
Oh.
Say that again.
Where'd Mr. Ben go? Oh. Well, sir. Well, he must have dropped off. Well, I'm going to say, sir, what do you feel about the whole protest going on, the police brutality? Let us know your points and your views on what's going on right now.
Okay.
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record. To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record, press 3. For more options, press 4. To cancel, press star.
Well, now, we don't know, sir.
To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record, press 3. For more options, press 4. To cancel, press star.
We good, Joe? I think
to send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record, press 3. For more options, press 4. To cancel, press star.
And all of us are active, so I have no idea where it's come from. There's Ben.
Yeah,
there's you.
Sorry, please try again later.
Yeah,
thank
please.
You for calling. Goodbye.
How was that? I had no idea where that was coming from at all. That was weird.
Well, we have Mr. Servon on the line. We want to get his point of view about what's going on right now with the protest and everything. Let's hear what you got to say, brother. Speak on.
Well, I mean, of course, man, the whole incident is, you know, with George Floyd was very, very unfortunate. It was terrible. It was horrific. You know what I mean? And to know he has a daughter that somehow will see that, you know, but it's almost to a point where his situation brought a culmination, man, to where everything, like, okay, we finally tired. Because it's happened so much, you know, with Eric Garner, the Sandra Bullock Blinds, excuse me, the you know, Trayvon Martins, and so many more, you know what I'm saying? And it's to a point where you hate to say it, where his death, you know, could be that thing that opens things up. Because right now, we got to understand, as black people, man, a lot of things we don't want to hear, in the sense of, you know what I'm saying, you really control, we control a lot, you know what I'm saying? And even with the voting thing, people say, oh, what voting is going to do? You got that guy in the office. Him being in the office, you know what I'm saying, people have to understand what a president really is. You know what I'm saying? A president is almost a figurehead. He's a representation. You know what I'm saying? But what counts is right there in your city. You know what I'm saying? And voting in the correct people, all the way down to the district attorneys, the ones that might give bad sentencing. You know what I'm saying? Putting the right judges and sheriffs in your area. You know what I mean? And it's right now, we got to really sit down as black people and not just within our anger, turn our anger into knowledge of, like, okay, what do we need to do? Everybody going to say come together. Yeah, we do. We have to heal things between each other to be able to be strong together and trust each other to be together. But at the same time, you know, the laws is not going to protect us. You know what I'm saying? The laws are not made for us. The laws are made to break. They're made to break us. You know what I'm saying? To be totally honest, you know, and to separate us and things like that. So I do feel like, man, you know, I know everybody is like the rest of the police officers and things like that, You know what I'm saying? Okay, yeah, that's what I want. That's definite justice. You know what I'm saying? That we need. But I feel like it goes so much further past that. All the other open cases, the Breonna's case and different people cases that these type of charges and these arrests, the kid Aubrey, all these things, these arrests need to be made, but we can't sit back as black people and say, okay, they arrested these police, they gave them life, they gave them 30 years, okay, everything is good. It can't, it's not, you know what I'm saying? And I think right now, you know, we also have to be smart on who's going to use our pain, you know, to for their benefit in a bad way that puts a bad negative eye on us. You know what I mean? Because you have people at those protests,
I
want to
make an insertion.
Go ahead, man.
If you don't mind, this is Benito Childs, the co-host of the show. Now,
yes, sir.
I wanted to make an observation about coming together. And, of course, what I'm about to put on the table is, again, my observation, not necessarily my feelings about my observation, just an observation. And I want to know what y'all think about my thoughts, which are simply the question is, well, now, and I go way back. Why do I know the name The Last Poets? Because when I was a kid, Huey Newton, Angela Davis, and Elgis Cleaver walked me to elementary school. So I was one of the children that they was talking about when they said, if we have to take all the food out the grocery market, these kids will not go to school hungry. Now, this is my experience. So I'm in the North Bay area, Oakland, California, and I do not remember if it's elementary school or junior high school. They call an assembly, and it's The Last Poets. And this is the first time that I ever learned that everything on a dollar bill has a meaning, intention, a purpose, and a definition behind it.
Well, Ben, we're going to let you know we got Miss Rhonda Clark. She's on with us.
Rhonda Clark, how you doing? We're glad to have you on. I was in the middle of asking a question. I want to say hello and thank you for coming on the panel. Hey, hang with us.
Thank
now.
You. I was.
And by the way, everybody, Rhonda Clark is the very first female artist that Clarence Avon put on the hit record label. So we definitely want to get some of her old school wisdom. I mean, some of us are old school like a flip phone. Me, myself, I'm old school like rotary dial. And so, you know, we want to have the cross cut of everybody. You understand me saying what their observation is? Because the question is, did we get a damn thing done? Did we make any progress? Okay.
I mean,
Martin Luther King had a dream. Is everybody still asleep? Then they had the woke party. Okay. I am watching what appears to be a reiteration, a recapitulation of history. And I'm looking for the part where the same damn thing just don't keep on happening all over again. Like Groundhog Day. Let me put it this way. I watched my people get out in the middle of the streets and jump up and down and scream and holler like James Brown. They created new dance steps. They created new songs. They stood in the middle of the street and held hands. They cried. They bled. They prayed together. And it seemed to me like the real message was you have the right to raise all the hell that you feel like you want to. However, notice that nowhere in the fine print does it say that anybody is guaranteed to do a damn thing about whatever your illness is. Y'all thoughts about my thoughts? Anybody on the panel? Rhonda Clark, welcome to the panel.
Thank you. I was out protesting. I was out at one of the protests when you guys called me. I will say I wasn't the first girl that Clarence signed. He had Sherelle on there. Remember, he had Sherelle on there too.
Oh, that's right. You know, I so much wanted to make it. You, I'm sorry. Straighten me out.
That's okay. That's all right. I just didn't want to. Hey, she's the lady too. She's a sweetheart. But
I don't
want
to be shifting nobody's thunder into exactly.
Yeah, but when you called, I was just leaving the protest. For Black Lives Matter. If you look on my page, I think you'll see them on there. And they're amazing young guys. And they did a protest. So I was in one this morning, and I walked in one this evening with the young people from Black Lives Matter, and that they began that. And it's just been amazing. I'm just and I walked in one yesterday, So I walked in one in Grand Blanc and in Flint, and I'm just touched. I'm just, oh, man, you know.
Is change really happening?
Yeah.
Is it really happening?
Can I answer that?
Wait,
can I answer that?
Please.
Okay, well, let me say this. I'll say this. What I feel, you know, everything that went through in the 60s, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, that's one thing I think we as black people right now at this time, you know what I'm saying, cannot, you know, don't do the comparisons, because that movement even there was so special. It was so great. Our people were so independent and together at that time. You know what I'm saying? And now at this time, I think our people are learning how to be, I'm going to say this, and I hope people understand what I'm saying. They're understanding how to be black, being strong and proud and standing up for something. Even our young kids that we thought was just video games and trouble and just rap music. And even though I'm a rapper, you know, in semi-retirement, but, you know, I mean, I can't say that power young kids, but these young kids who we thought wouldn't be soldiers and wouldn't stand in front of adversity, they're actually stepping up to the plate. You know, a generation that we thought was lost. And I think when you look at that, they still have to be taught. And I think my older generation, you know, that went through it in the 60s and in the 70s and understand the strategicness of what has to take place and keep going. You know, in every aspect, whether it's education, whether it's whatever you got to do within the community, being more within it and bringing it together. I think that generation, instead of comparing and sitting down and watching, you know, and next generation saying, I don't want to listen to them, I don't want to hear that. I think that generation,
hey,
60s and the 70s, I really think that they can teach these young kids who have so much heart and who have decided to say enough is enough. Even though they haven't been given enough of themselves to be the best that they can be, you know, with so much distraction and things like that and broken homes. But they are really stepping up. And now I think we'll move forward if generations can come together and that generation that seen it all, the beginning of it, can now the civil rights and come and say, let me teach you now. Let me show you. You got the heart. You understand them, but you have not understood. You know what I'm saying? What can happen if we don't do this now? And I think that, you know, is a thing that I think should be more on the horizon, you know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, you cannot be great if you don't understand what was before you that was greater than you that made you become wanting to be great. And that's one thing I've always understood. You know, no matter how much money I can make or whatever I've done, but there's somebody before me that was a greater me. And I want to learn from them. I think right now that's where the movement is going to be, you know, is going to become a movement. Excuse me. It has to become
a
movement.
So hang tight, all right?
You know, so that's what I totally think that I see that's good to see our young people who we were scared that, look, you know, how are we going to be when we old? They just want to play video games. They're not listening. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. They're not applying themselves, a lot of them. But they're out there and they're understanding. You know, they're tired at an early age. When the older generation went through so much, these kids went through a few things and they're getting it. But they need the guidance and the togetherness and the understanding of what has to go forward now. So I think, you know, I mean, I do have a bright spot about it.
That is a very interesting outlook. It's a very interesting outlook, and I'm sure that we all have a cross-cut, you know, to some extent or another, from one end of the spectrum to the other. Let's hear from somebody else on the panel. Same observation, same question. Anybody who wants
Rhonda,
to be next, please.
Go right ahead, Rhonda.
Well, you know, I believe that, you know, I was listening, and I agree that, you know, this generation is, I mean, I'll be honest, I think they're amazing. I really do. And learning from the older generation is a good thing. When we think about the Martin Luther Kings, and I know some people might even get a little bit of, you know, when I say Malcolm X. But, I mean, and I'm not talking violence. I'm talking about education. I'm talking about insight.
Yes.
I'm talking
yes.
about understanding. I'm talking about knowledge. So, yeah, nobody wants to see the violence and people dying and, you know, things like that. But when people are so angry and so hurt, it's like, you know, you hit me and then I say, ouch. And then you hit me again. And then I say, stop. And then you hit me again. I say, look, that hurts. And then you hit me again and I'm screaming and I'm hollering. Stop. What do you think I'm going to do? So I'm saying I'm not going to be violent.
We all remember that.
Please leave your message for 28.
Hello? Hello? Okay. So I'm saying
no, we're still here.
The education and learning from people who came before us is important. And the other thing is that also gathering with the young people who's doing what they're doing, because I was just out there walking in a with young guys in Black Lives. These guys are amazing. You guys should interview them. They are amazing, young, kind-hearted, but hey, firm, ready to go forward and protest, and they weren't fighting.
Yeah.
It was peaceful.
Hello?
It was black.
Hello?
It was white. The news was out there.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hold on 1 minute.
Yes, yes.
Yes, you're on.
Yes, we can hear you. Who else is on the call? Is that Randy?
Son is on the call.
Oh, son's on the call. Well, we're gonna get to you in a minute, son. We're gonna let Miss Rhonda Clark talk a little more. Then we're gonna bring you in, and we'll answer the same question to you.
Please.
Hey.
Oh yeah.
Can I, Miss Clark? Can I say this? It was so awesome that you were out there, Miss Clark. It was so awesome that you was out there because we need to see people like you approve of what we're standing for. That makes us stronger. So I commend you for being there. Seeing your face, people like you, is saying like, okay, they approve of who we are, and I want to be like that. I want that support. And I think that was important. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to say that.
No. Because, you know, the thing is that I'm black, right? So, you know, I like what you're saying because, you know, I want, you know, when I'm, it was some older people out there in their 60s and close to 70s and stuff like that. And yesterday and today, and, you know, I asked a lady earlier when I was walking in one for our state representative, you know, because I was, they had a prayer thing for Cynthia Neely, and I'm close to the Neely's mayor, Neely and also Cynthia, and so they had a prayer walk. I did the one in Grand Blanc yesterday. I did the one this morning, and then the one I just did for Black Lives Matter. And so I asked a lady who was older, I said, what do you think, and tell me your thoughts, because I can, whatever knowledge I get, I pass on. Whatever knowledge that person gets, they pass on. So to be out there with young people walking like that, yeah, they matter to me. And I want them to know, like, not like I'm thinking, oh, because I'm Rhonda Clark. No, nothing like that. It's just that I want them to know, yeah, you know how they have that, you know, that commercial, you know, yeah, you know, and this is such and such, all these people join in that are, you know, kind of on board. Well, we all need to be on board. So
yes,
me being out there is saying I'm fighting too. I'm not for this. I'm fighting with you. And, you know, they were just amazing. They, you know, it was so heartwarming. I started to cry. I did. I started to cry. It'll make me cry now.
I hear that.
To see our young people stand. And like I said, our young people get branded so wrong. Nobody knows their passion if they don't get to know them personally. And, you know, they brand them in such negative ways and not understanding that, you know, they understand that could be them one day dying. And and enough is enough. And they're becoming warriors. And a lot of them so intelligent, but have the heart of a warrior. And that's something that is needed because, you know, I think powers that be counted this young generation out. Yeah, they didn't care about nothing but rap music, drugs, video games, and social media. But yet these kids are there. And I think people have to really look at that. Maybe some of their methods at times, because of their anger, might get overzealous, and they still need to be led, where they might do something wrong, you know, and break something, you know, but they still have to be led. They are raw.
young rebellion. And it's like they have to be taught. But the number one thing that everybody has to look at, you know, if you never felt like saying, hey, I'm not going to get involved as long as it don't come to my doorstep, you know, but I appreciate what they're doing out there. No, if you don't sit up and say, I got to be involved with these young people, because these young people are setting the stage for whether I'm going to be a free black man when I'm 60 years old. You know, that's how serious I think it is. You know what I'm saying? These young
well,
people
no,
and
no,
everybody
no,
that's there.
Allow me.
You know?
Some of us are in our 60s, and we are taking the position that the freedom that was discussed, it ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's not coming. Maybe there's a shot for some of my great-grandchildren if, you know, we figure out a thing here and there along the way. Again, I hate to be, you know, no, I don't. I'm being a devil's advocate on purpose. Okay?
But you have
I fully
to be,
intend
to
stimulate and instigate the ideas to perform collision to the extent that we can stand back and see, all right, when the steam clears, what's still standing? What can we cling to? What can we use to build from? Because everybody got the same ideas jacked up.
But you build. What you build from is the fact that now this younger generation is awake and listening and watching and not afraid to advance forward. You take from that. See, when this smoke clears, you take from that and say they paying attention now. When we thought they weren't, they are our army. They are our generations to come. And so they're now paying attention. So that's the thing that I'm really trying to push to say, if for things to move on, they are willing to listen. They are willing to follow. They are willing to stand out there. You know, something that honest to God, a lot of people didn't think so, especially the powers that be. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I'm saying when this smoke clears, yeah, we got things to work on. They are now paying attention. You know what I'm saying? They know what's wrong, and it's wrong to them now, even if it don't happen to them personally. So now we have to teach now. Now we have to strategize.
Finally, the news no longer happens on television. It really is on my front doorstep. Well, now, that's an inch in the right direction. Again, it's my intention to stimulate and instigate until we have a collision of ideas and we see what's going to stick. Where can we start from? That's the purpose of our conversation this afternoon. Again, I want to thank everybody for being on the panel. Joe Montaldo, where are you? Please check in with us. Your thoughts about our thoughts collectively, please.
Joe, speak on it, Joe. We here.
I don't hear him. Oh, come on.
I don't hear him.
That's because I got y'all on open stereo, and I don't want you to get a bunch of feedback. I don't have a headset set up.
Okay.
I'd like to tell you what's been going on down here.
What are the intelligent people that we know, man? What are your thoughts about our thoughts?
Put the plug on.
Go ahead. Currently, I think everybody's moving in the right direction. I got to say, down in New Orleans, everybody's been pretty laid back. I mean, laid back's the wrong word. Everybody's out there doing what they should be, but no one's actually causing any real trouble. Cops only used tear gas one time, and the city kind of booed them out for that, so they've been leaving alone. As long as everybody seems to be really focused. I don't know how long it's going to last. I'm hoping it's going to last, but I'm not sure if it's going to. I don't know if this is because of what happened, was just a release from being pent up from the COVID for 3 months, or if this is a real movement. I guess we won't really know for another couple of months, but we can hope. We can hope something's going to change, man. Let's be honest.
Yeah, love.
Anything at this point, I'd be happy with.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
I think it's so dope. Let's hear from the son. Son, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to have you. Ben, why don't you ask him a question or whatever, and let's see his side of you.
Go ahead. We're on the road. Please go ahead. I'm sure he's been listening, and I will say then your thoughts about the collective thoughts that have been shared thus far.
Oh, on my face.
Go ahead.
A lot has been said. You know, not to repeat. A lot that's been said. I agree with basically everything, you know, that's been said.
I think right now we're dealing with something that's spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
We dealing with something that's spiritual, and that's really the conversation that they can't have.
One second,
I look at I look at us as being God's chosen, no question, because we melanated, and I think that God is putting this strain on us right now just to see what white people gonna do. Like, do they have the fortitude to step up? And a lot of them don't, but you see a great majority do. So this is just a moment right now, but we have to see, because spirit is infinite. So, I mean, if they stepping up right now, this journey is like forever. Ain't no going back. Ain't no going back to how it was. It's a brand new normal. Two sides.
Yep.
You either on that side or you on this side. And when you look at black people, we all start out with love. I mean, when I look around and see everything that's been going on, everything that's been said from the beginning to right now, where is the black suicide bomber at? That ain't in our DNA, but we've been subjected to enough shit where we should have been done that. But that ain't in our DNA. What's in our DNA is love and protesting and bringing things together. That's in our DNA right there. So when I look at
but I want to interrupt you and insert right there that what's in the DNA of most melanated individuals to stand there and get your ass whooped and thank them for the experience and say that God chose me to stand here and get my ass whooped, and until you feel like you understand what it is to feel shame and guilt. God chose me to help you learn.
I don't think I said that right there. I just said being a suicide.
I know you didn't say that. I said it. No, again, I said it. What I'm saying is that melanated individuals will stand out in the middle of the street and pray and sing and hold hands, okay, and hope not to take it to the next step. All right. Now that all has been said and done, where do we go from here, and how do we commence to get there? What do we hang on to as a thought process that's going to save or unite or bring cohesion to a group of people? How many individuals in the conversation? I feel like I'm trying to fix my car and talk at the same time.
But sometimes
we got an open line.
We don't have no choice.
I'll say this. And I look at it like this.
We ain't got no choice.
Moving forward,
we ain't got no choice. We can't get to that place because at the end of the day, they don't have the equipment. They're going to send me from there to the hospital because they don't have the.
Let me say something right now. Remember that extra conversation? Can you mute your phone for a second so we can let the brothers and sisters speak, please?
I don't think they know they're on.
But I
apologize.
Feel like
I apologize. Randy Gill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, Randy. Thank you.
You know, and I've heard people like, what do we have to hang on? Why do we look for something to hang on? Why keep creating? You know what I'm saying? Keep creating. We have as black people some of the most intelligent people, you know what I'm saying, in every field, in every way, in every form of fashion. And our young people are now listening. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is that has to collectively come together. The knowledge has to be put out there. The internet is right there. Social media is right there. Where we go forward from, the people that whether it's our economic specialist, our financial specialist, I don't care what you are and who you are. You know, I feel like just like they look at us as rap artists, that are famous rap artists and athletes, and say, okay, you know, lead and put it there and make that mark for us and whatever, whatnot. Okay, well, now to me right now, it's about an education standpoint of moving forward, you know what I'm saying, at the same time, because I don't care what army you have, if that army is lacking the knowledge and not being put in the positions to do the things they need to do, even when they're not at war, then they're useless. You know, and so I feel like our bankers, our accountants, anything, everything possible. I put it on Facebook today. It needs to be a mentorship now going back into the community. If you're a big-time tax accountant, you go around and you find somebody young in high school and start teaching them what they need to teach. Start pushing finance and everything that we need, everything voting-wise and everything, why these youngsters are fed up and they upset, their emotions and their soul is open. It is spiritual. So now at this time, it's like, feed them now.
all our best and brightest, feed them on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Take, I don't care if it's one good post or one video of that day saying, young man, you in this city, you need to be doing this. Young lady, you need to be doing this. This is what needs to be done. Keeping the pressure there and making them know that we're not going away. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, you know, Ms. Clark said Malcolm and Martin. Even at the end of the days with Malcolm, whether it was weakness or not, but there's still a fear. Now they know the fear of, okay, if this happens again, they're coming again. You know, but at that same time, while they're looking for that fear of understanding that they're going to do this, look what they just did. They're going to do it again. So that fear and that mindset is there, and they're preparing for that, but they're not preparing for our intelligent and best putting our people in position and our youngsters and teaching them what they need to do, learning their laws. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Learning their rights and everything they need to know when they're being pulled over, understanding the days of the Black Panthers where, okay, you where they taught Black people,
I gotta know how do we do that? How do we start?
I'm conflicted
because I have got to teach my grandsons to be afraid. I have to teach them that when that policeman pulls you over, you don't have no right.
It's not about teaching them to be afraid. You don't teach them to be afraid. You teach them what rights they have, and if they're put into that position after they state, hey, you can't check my car, you can't do this and that. And if they put in that position, then they have to learn how to react, and they have to learn how to stand. Don't teach them to fear nothing. If you don't teach them to fear. And I mean, that's just the way I feel. I'm not saying teach my son to go out here and be aggressive.
What I'm saying to you to stimulate and instigate the conversation for real is real hands-on stuff. So I'm sharing this with y'all. $15,000 and two lawyers later, he can go home and he ain't do nothing but stand up for himself. Because he was not taught to be afraid. He was taught that fear-based thinking is useless. Logic-based thinking based on intellect is priceless. This is the gem of the bloodline, okay? And it cost him. Now, what am I supposed to do? That's a question. And I ain't mad at nobody. It's meant to stimulate the conversation. Let's see if we can get any answers. Anybody on the panel?
One of the things I want to say is I understand both views. On one hand, you're saying, hey, you're teaching them to be afraid only because you want him to understand that he could be in danger. On the other hand,
I don't want to lose him for standing up for himself.
I get that, but I understand. It's a way, on the other hand, I understand the education that's being said is, hey, it's not about being afraid, because if he lives in fear, he could sit there and do all the right things and still be shot down. So having knowledge of what his rights are, I don't think it's being fair for him to oppose the police, but knowing your rights. If you're stopped and somebody pulls him over and he has the knowledge of knowing his rights, one of his rights is, in some instances, you have to know your instincts may tell you, hey, don't say this, don't say that. But it is about education. And to be honest, it's been so much fear that some of the fear has led into people I'm not saying caused this, that's not what I'm saying. But as much as we've been fighting, somebody said to me at the protest that this is a guy, a Black guy. He says, you know, he said, Rhonda, he said, the thing is that when all this, he says, sometimes that, this is what he said. I'm not saying this, I'm just saying what he said. He said, after the protest stopped, then Black people get quiet. And that's where I hear somebody else here saying, hey, it's the education. You have to go forward. You have to keep it up. No, nobody wants to tell their grandson or their son to be afraid, so afraid, because fear, there's a healthy fear, and there's a fear that's not so healthy. That's my thinking. And as far as education, yeah, I'm Rhonda Clark, And I am still, I do have a new album coming out, but I'm also a clinical therapist, mental health therapist. That's a
so
lot
then,
of what
as a clinical therapist, from your professional, can I want to ask you a question to.
Okay.
Now, as a therapist who works in the clinical psych field, what is your professional opinion as to the mindset of the people or the populace as a whole? And I'm saying it in the context that we have heard the word education several times in this afternoon's dialogue. And I'm with that, but I want to point out that there is an extreme, a vast chasm of difference, everybody, between an indoctrination and an education. So when you say education, let's nail down what we're talking about for sure.
Okay.
The education that I received said, behave yourself and follow the rules, you guarantee the job, and based on that, you get to have the better food. Now, anything past that, well, see Martin Luther King, he was dreaming. Y'all awake yet? Your thoughts about my thoughts?
Well, you know, when I say, even let me go back to something I said earlier. When I said Malcolm, I'm not talking about, you know, when Malcolm, how Malcolm changed his not changed all of his perception, but some of it. And he didn't want the violence. He wanted the education. So that if you really look at it,
correct,
Martin ended up on the same page at some point. So education is knowledge. I'm not there saying when I just saw a video, for instance. Let me go here. Yesterday, somebody sends me a video. This guy is in the car and he's driving, and he's videotaping. He says he knows this cop is going to stop him. The cop stops him. He says, "But I have my tag." He said, "I have everything right." He said, and he told the police officer. The police officer told him that he stopped him because when he drove by, he saw his jaw drop. The thing is that, do we want this guy shot? Because he could get shot if he was to do something with a cop standing there that was like the one who put his neck on George Floyd's neck, right? I mean, his knee on George Floyd's neck. So what the guy, he the way he talked, he was kind of pissed. So the education there, knowing your rights, doesn't mean always challenging. Because if you're in a position, I remember my mother told me when I was younger, if you ever get stopped, you know, we can do something later. Because I'm not saying the $15,000 is nothing later, but the $15,000 is much better than the life gone. Then you get to go to court. Now,
again,
we already know.
What he taught him is that what they learn is that if you speak up for yourself, you're going to be penalized. So you better have some lawyers, and they better be white. And you better have some money. And then even after that, you're still a derogatory slur as you're leaving court after you have been told that you are right. Now, he just stepped through this and is overwhelmed, dismayed, disillusioned about what kind of future? What freedom? Freedom of expression, for real? What y'all talking about?
Yeah, what I believe now is going to happen, because I get what both sides are saying, but what I think now, that there are going to be some major changes, because it's been, like when the spiritual thing, I agree, it's some work being done in the spiritual realm. People are saying enough is enough, and it's a change. It's a change. You can see it. Anytime, when have we had a whole world of people from across the globe protesting? And I hate that it had to happen like this. Nevertheless, it's happened.
Well, you know, I'm not a religious individual, but I started making phone calls to the people who this is what they do, you know, as is what they do. You know, they are responsible for the spiritual nourishment and maintenance of the individual, you know, the members of the community.
Right.
And I asked them, I said, is it biblical? And you know what they told me? They said, in the context that the new Bible was being written right now, this is worse than what happened when Pharaoh did not let God's people go and did not heed Moses, suggesting that you understand, you might want to pay attention to this. This is a little deeper than that. Notice that famines, floods, pestilence, natural disasters,
that bowler ice cap is melting. We now have hornets the size of hummingbirds. You know,
right.
That's just kind of, you know, kind of way out there. So, you know, one of the religious leaders explained this to me, and he said to me, no, it's not Revelation. It's a book that hasn't even been written yet. We are living through it. Y'all thoughts about it. Those thoughts.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, and let somebody else speak, but I believe that when people say the norm is going to be a new norm, I believe that people now all across the globe, including me and you guys, everybody on this panel, we're no longer taking this. So we're no longer taking it. And I'll be honest, if I see somebody laying on the ground, you might be talking about me in past tense, because I can't stand by. So I hope, you know, I'm never put in that position, but if I am, I'm not going to say I hope I'm never put in that position, but I can't stand by. And people that were there were so afraid, and I'm not saying they did anything wrong, because they did not. They're terrorized. They're traumatized. Traumatized by this. But now the things have changed to where people are stepping up, and they just, Black people are saying, and white people and Asian, I mean, people are coming together and saying, this, I mean, in one simple word, enough is enough. Should it have been a long time ago that other people stood up, because Black people have been fighting for this for a long time, but so have white people, doing Martin, they marched with Martin. But now, it's a different time. You guys, you know, somebody comment on that. It is. What do you see?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, when you're looking at the fact, our young people, you know, what people see anger with Black people before this happened, what people saw in Black people with anger is anger at each other. And so it wasn't nothing that bothered them or scared them, you know what I'm saying, or made them say, whoa, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think the protest and the anger that we've shown, and it wasn't at each other, we've shown it to this, even people around the world, you know, they felt, if you look at how strong and powerful, you know, people around the world are protesting, saying a Black man's name that they don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And so that's a very powerful spiritual thing. But also, I think America finally got to see a tip of the iceberg of our anger, and it's not aimed at us, because when it's aimed at us, nobody pays attention. But when now it's aimed out there, it's like, okay, they really are upset. They are really hurt. This is really deep. Maybe let me look into it. As somebody white, and look and then turn to their son and see their son like, wow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not saying it can happen to my child being white, but at the same time, they're looking at, there's an angry young Black man out there, and I have a son. My son is white. Okay, what can happen to him? Now America sees, you know, saw that anger. And I think with that thought of that anger, you know what I'm saying, and it's not directed at us, which gets ignored every day when we make that mistake. I think now they see it, you know what I'm saying, because Black people has always been, you know, we've always been the heart of a lion, but at the same time, we have a sweetness, a soul of, I just won't get along, I don't want no problems, don't push me, but, you know, just treat me fairly or whatever, or we are forgive so easy.
Yeah.
You know, and so they finally saw that side of like, okay, I know they kill each other, you know what I'm saying, and that, you know, hey, that's them, but wait a minute, they're looking at us now, and they're angry.
Yes.
And that anger that we know about when they act at each other, they're now looking at us, and that has happened in small spurts in the past, but when now America looking at young Black people angry along with young white people angry and older white people. And like you said, other races.
Yeah.
And now they're looking like, okay, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? And trust me, they know the history of us. They know that we will not be, we can be beaten. We can be enslaved, but we will not be broken. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they understand that. And now they're seeing a group of people that's saying enough is enough. I'm not going to take it. It's not even just police brutality. I'm not going to take it anymore in the workplace. I'm not going to take it. They know now people that they work with every day that's passive, that don't want to lose their job, was posting things and protesting. So now when they go back to work, that same person, it's not likely they're going to cross them, but at the same time, they understand. And then now they got to look at it and say, hey, you know, what brought it to this? Because I don't want our country fucked up, because that's, excuse my language, because that's how they think. You know what I'm saying? And so now I just think that America got to finally see our anger. And then the world got to see it also, like, these already intelligent. Because if you go to Africa, you go to different places around the world, they feel young Black American kids and young people, they are so intelligent. They are everything. You know, sometimes things we don't see in ourselves and each other like we should. So now they saw the anger side. You know, and I've always said, you know, people call people thugs. But if you had an intelligent thug, and I'm not saying a thug is not a right word, it's not good, I hate that word. And I'm a rapper that used it and learned to change. But at the same time, but a man not afraid to die, and a man that is intelligent, and he's voicing it, that is dangerous and it's scary. And that's what needed to be seen. You know, and I think that's a big thing. They needed to see where we're not going to turn the other cheek. We're not going to just say, let's hold hands and pray and sing and hope that you just hopefully be nice. No, we showed that it's to the point right now. Even though it's the tip of the iceberg, we still showed that, no, I don't want pray. I don't want sing. You're going to talk to me now. You're going to see me now. You're not going to be able to just say, okay, get over it. He was on drugs or he was everything they throwing out there. No, if you watch social media, nobody's saying, oh, that look what they're doing, trying to shout his name. It makes them angrier. Like, oh, now you want to do that? Forget that, whatever. Talk about what you did to him and what you did to so many others. So that is something that needed to be seen. We needed to finally say that we might slap somebody back. Whether we did it or not, the thought now is there. And I'm sorry, sometimes that has to be shown sometimes to bring even a dialogue of change up. Sometimes you have to know that you cannot keep pushing somebody and pushing them, and then you realize, like, whoa, they really will hurt me. They will come at me, and they're not stopping. You're tear gassing. Yep. You're taking negativity in the media, social media. Nobody's paying attention to it. We keep coming and keep coming. And that's what they needed to see over these days. You know, they needed to see that finally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now the proverbial day has seen what you just pointed out, and that's a very astute observation, because I just want to kind of say that, you know, I'm making the same observation, but the words I use are simply that, okay, if we want to talk about they, then they finally figured out, you know what, we're going to run out of ammunition and rubber bullets long before they run out of individuals who are demanding an explanation.
All right.
So we're going to have to come up with something better, because they ain't scared. And as a matter of fact, they arguing over who gets to be next. They making a statement and they not playing.
Okay.
Now, that said, what do we believe, if anything, they, if we want to say the proverbial they, have as a collective understanding or decided upon perception as to what's going on and where we need to start from? We still go, in other words, all right, we still standing in the middle of the street like we think we're going to work on this, all right? Everybody don't laugh the curve. All right, now what we going to do? Y'all talk about my thoughts.
And that, okay, and I'll be real short. And I feel that's what I was saying earlier. That's what I was saying earlier, because if they sit down, like you said, if it's like, okay, we ain't got enough bullets, we got to figure out another way, they're going to turn back to laws, to whether it's discrimination at jobs and everything else. And that's why I said our knowledgeable best has to prepare our young folks for that. And we are prepared to deal with it there. Everywhere else they're going to do it, whether it's cut programs. Okay, I can't kill them in the street. The world is watching now. They done stood up. Okay, I can't do that. Yeah. That's going to mess up policies around the world. So now where can I get them? Oh, I'm going to cut this program. I'm going to cut that program in the inner city
or money from this, or cut food stamps and everything else. That's where it comes, where our best and our knowledge will come back in the community and start helping us get away from that assistance. Okay, you take that, fine. I got this job. I got this trade. I got this that I'm doing, and I'm taking care of my family. Now I'll come again. So it's like we have to be more unified in the way of the passion of knowledge, you know, and getting our young folks ready for that next war, because like I said, by it being televised, you know what I'm saying, and the world see it, and our diplomatic situations around the world, you know, we can't have that red eye. America can't have that black eye, because we always on other people about humane and they within their society, how they treat their people. So now you can't shoot them down in the streets. You can't do, you know, it's something that they don't. I mean, I'm talking about as far as protesting. So now it's like, okay, America, they have to step back. So they're going to come another way at us, you know, to break us in that sense. You know what I'm saying? And that's when the knowledge of those who are so much more knowledgeable has to come back into the inner city and start trying to knowledge everyone that they need to help them get trades, help them within their careers and their situations, understanding their money and the things that they need to do. Like a lot of black people I've seen,
well,
never touch
let
the
me
stock
ask
market.
You
and
this
hold
question.
Up, hold up.
Let me ask you a question about your observation and the statement that you just made, because you're saying that they, if we want to use the proverbial collective word they, have at minimum made an acknowledgement that there is a problem that is not going away and is not going to resolve itself. Now, at the same time that you're saying, you're making an observation that they're making an acknowledgement and they're coming to the table, or at least let's meet in the middle of the street and decide if we're going to whoop on each other some more, or we're going to start a conversation that's leading us both someplace other than towards the grave and DK and death. Now, that being said, if you come right behind that and say, oh, but they still have resistance, they still got to figure out a way to not include melanated people, you know, to, in other words,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, you got rights and you can say what's on your mind, but over here at the bank, you ain't rolling. You know, over here at the, you know, the telephone company, the cable company, your moms can't get hired there. You know, she got to stay at your cabinet for minimum
exactly.
wage.
Exactly. And that's my point. You know,
okay,
my point
now,
is saying,
if this is going to continue, then how did we commence a progressive conversation or dialogue in which we can sort things out? Okay, again, I'm sure we all subscribe to the concept, if you can't fix a damn thing, that it ain't broke to you. Okay, so if this is going to be some more of, well, we acknowledge y'all, we respect y'all, we feel y'all, but at the same time, we don't include y'all, then how far did we get? Is that even the first down?
I mean, honestly, I look at us in the rap industry, especially at No Limit Records. You know, we knew what the industry did to us, and it's gonna make sense when you hear what I'm saying. It's we had our own thing to the point where, you know, and the one thing that powers that be, you know, makes sense, especially with the government losing money, losing the black dollar. You know what I'm saying? Not completely losing all of it, because we'd never be able to get everybody to say, okay, I'm going directly here. You know what I'm saying? And we have to deal with them economically also, because what No Limit did was, it was simple. We're making our money over here. We're doing what we're doing. We know how to do it. We're dealing with our people. We understand our people more than you do. And so what they had to eventually do was say, okay, we'll give you the deal you want. You own your masters. You guys, you know, you run your own marketing situation. We just want a piece of this and that. But what we did, we flip-flopped the game to where artists got better deals because they didn't want to miss out on money and lose money. So what I'm saying is, if you go back to us as black people now moving forward at the same time, we have to create those situations, whether if it's a black bank, okay, go deal with that black bank if the interest rates are right and things are correct. Take money from the institutions that hurts them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I always look back as the old trick with Rosa Parks and the bus. You stop using their buses and they start losing a lot of money. What happened? Conversation and let's sit at the table. It's the same
yeah.
but let me stop and ask you a question based on just that right there. Let me cut you off and ask you this here. Just because of that right there, and I want everybody to let that sit there for a second. Let's marinate. Let's really look at that and process it and really examine it just for a second there, okay? What you just said. Now, let me throw this on the table for consideration. Is it real, or is what you just said the reason why everybody all of a sudden checking in talking about Black Lives Matter? Okay. All over the world, people ain't got no black friends. Seen something on television, Black Lives Matter. And it just so happens that, you know, they're running a multinational conglomerate. They turned on the internet and the video game over here for whatever you call it, let's sit here and pretend to kill each other on the video. I don't play video games, so I forget the World Awards or whatever. One of the most popular ones. The opening page says Black Lives Matter. Okay. The dry cleaners down the street owned by people who they ain't got no black friends. They got a bunch of black customers. All of a sudden, they want everybody to know Black Lives Matter. Does it really matter? Or what matters is, look here, we don't want it to be said that we didn't say something, you know, and we ain't make no cool statement and, you know, get on the, you know, let everybody know, hey, we're not against you, because, you know, this could affect our bottom line. All they have to do is tell each other we didn't show up and we didn't say anything, and suddenly they ain't doing business with us no more. Again, y'all talked about my talk.
I mean, it's you look at when President Obama started running, okay, it became big because even people that were not black might not have understood a black person saying, oh my God, he really might do this, and what it meant, the history and everything that we saw. You saw Germany, you saw white young white people go on board because they got caught up in the specialness of the moment. So that's why you see so many people. Some might have said it out of fear, and you have to understand. Also, I've learned about white people. They have a level of disgust when they get to where something is disgusting and it's embarrassing to them. You know what I'm saying? They tend to move in a different way. You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, I think our young people also has made a point of saying, I'm going to tell you Black Lives Matter, and I don't care if you believe it or not. You can act like you want to stand next to me or not. I don't care. I'm going to still do it. And that's a precedent that has been set. So sometimes when you look at it, everybody not leaders. So you have people that might be jumping in and following because it's a no-win situation. If I tell him, hey, all lives matter, and he still look at me with anger and say Black Lives Matter, you know, until Black Lives Matter, then I'm not worrying about all lives. That aggression and that belief and heart has some people that would just have to either back down and roll with it, like you say, to say of comfort, you know, and I don't want no problems. But also, it also says that, you know what, this fight right here, I want life to get back to normal. Let me help out here. You have people that way. So I do truly think that, like I said before, we finally roared a little bit. We haven't roared big enough. Roaring big enough is when they have no choice but to implement the change we want. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
but
now,
we roared enough. We roared enough where they're paying attention.
I think right now we in revelation. Everything is being revealed to us. And what it's saying is we got people, they got to wake up. We can't continue to go on the road we've been on. So you have to see it with a spiritual eye, even though it's playing out on a physical level. You have to see it with a spiritual eye, because the true communication comes through the heart, the lungs, and the kidneys. And then it plays out in the physical world. So right now we can see who got a heart. You know what I'm saying? We can see who can control their breathing through the adrenaline that comes from the kidney. And that's what it's all about. If you're not protecting your inner city right now, which is your heart, lungs, and kidneys, you ain't going to make it going down the road. And that's what white people really can't do. They searching for that. Not all of them, but they searching for that inside they self, because in their mind, they haven't fed themselves the right food to build their heart up on that level. And when they see us, we the ones who have to show them. We got to be that reflection. Even though it's hard right now, the only way they're going to learn is if we humble ourselves. And that's going to be a hard thing, to humble ourselves to some people that had their foot on our neck. But that's the only way.
Well,
the journey really
how much
get
more humbler can you get? I got to ask you, how much more humble can you get than getting killed? And by the way, you know, Gil Scott Heron said, Gil Scott Heron said that the revolution will not be televised. Now, I believed him, and I kind of still do. And based on he said it's not going to be televised, then what the hell am I looking at on television? If it ain't the revolution, what is it?
The part that ain't televised is what I was just saying. It's an internal thing, things that you can't see.
Yeah.
It just play out in the physical
world.
So
that's
the
real, what you're saying is it's a spiritual revolution. So you're saying it's a spiritual revolution, and that's what's not being televised. It's being shut. I feel you.
Because
okay.
they don't have
now we
didn't have
somewhere.
They don't have the equipment. They don't have the equipment to talk on this spiritual level. You know what I'm saying? We have the equipment to do that. So it's all about our voices that need to be heard right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
I
just want to say, like, what I love is, and somebody said, you know, it's not all white people, because, you know, everybody on here, we already know that there is no, I mean, we all have other races in us, right? Other cultures in us, right? And now, looking at the world, that didn't seem to matter, you guys, to some. But we also know that even during Martin Luther King, there were white people, you know, that walked. And thank God. But I want to say something. Somebody said the world has stood up. I wish that you would write that somewhere, because I love that. And I'll tell you why. You also said that when a culture sees, when you're talking about white people, when they see something that maybe impacts them, if you know, then it's time to stand up. There were people standing up before, but not like now. So if you think about it this way, if you think about an infection, and an infection that's highly contained. It's not talking about corona. I'm talking about just an infection. And it spreads. It only stops when you stop it. So that infection really has no preference of color, nothing. It will spread until you get something to stop it. Even if, just say, an individual, if you have maybe a cold or pneumonia or whatever, or certain infections that we're in and they become septic. It only stops when you go to the doctor and you get treated for it. When the world is looking at this and they're saying, you know what? This could spread to our kids, to other people's kids. And you got people saying, hey, it's just not right in general. People that are not of color saying, it's just not right. I don't want to see it. It's evil. It's wicked. The same way an infection spreads, wicked can spread. Evil can spread. So it doesn't matter that it was, it matters. Black lives matter. But if you're on the outside and you're looking in and you're not black, and if you really want to think about it, why would you not join in? Because it won't, evil has no preference either. And it has no boundaries. It will spread to every place and any place that it is open to spread to. And when you think you can contain it and you can stop it, you cannot until you work to stop it. So when you look at it that way, just like an infection, evil does the same thing. And if you think about it, if you're not black, but you're standing up and you look and you think, well, it's not my child, I'm not black, you know, okay, let's see. Because I don't know how many years ago, it might have been a few years back, where a cop killed a white girl. And President Trump came on and said something, I can't remember the whole case, but he came on and said something. But even during that time, police were still killing black people. They were still killing black people. So it's, you know, evil, wicked has no boundaries. And the thing is, the black race has been targeted. For some reason, we have been targeted just because of the color of our skin. Everybody now is standing up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at right now around the world, and the reason why it's so much also another world participation, we have more dictatorship around the world than democracy. And in a lot of those countries, they have their own form of oppression. And the thing about it is to look America, the country America that points their finger at everybody's society, if they're pushing their protesters or denying, you know, human decency or human, you know, just rights, period, we point the finger. And by now, this with social media and everything, and this president is such turmoil where you got some media that's like, I'm going to show this. I'm going to show what he's caused. And the world is seeing it. So you're looking at these people saying, you know, like, okay, this black man got killed. You know what I'm saying? And why him that they're acting this way? And people now, they Google. They look and see. And then they go see the numbers around the world. And then they look at their own son saying, like, okay, that's just like I was saying, well, Israel and Palestine. Okay, you know, these young kids get killed every day, basically, going up against, you know, Israeli soldiers and their so-called occupation, whatever. That's not my business. But, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, so now they're looking and they're like, you know, my son the same way. We're going through the same thing over there. It's just wrong.
Exactly.
And yeah, and then you do have some white people that really look, and they're looking right now, like I said again, they don't pay attention to an angry young black man when he's hurting another angry young black man. And now he's looking out, and they're looking in the mirror and saying, I'm white, and they're mad at white police officers possibly or white president, then why wouldn't they be mad at my son? You know what I'm saying? And so now it's like they have to pay attention. And the world, period, is paying attention because in every part of the world, there's some type of oppression going on. You know what I'm saying? But we are such leaders to the point, and black people are strong people. And they're now seeing, okay, the as they always called us, the giants. The giants are now finally awakened. And what do you do when you see a giant? You look up. Pay attention. You fear.
You got to look up. Given that, I got to ask a question. If anybody knows, okay, comment on this. Several weeks ago, before all of this stuff happened, I received a YouTube video that clearly shows the members of the Arab Emirates at an auction. They buy applicants to take home and work on their land. Now, we did all this getting out in the middle of the street. We gonna burn some of this down. We ain't taking this shit no more. Blah, 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 blah. Did that stop the oxen of black folks being sold by Arabs to each other to clean their house, to pick their food, to fix their car, to raise their kids? Y'all thoughts about my thoughts?
Go deeper into that. You have to understand also the part of it where they're promised jobs. That's how they're getting them there and then not.
Well, I know it was sleight of hand.
No, wait, no.
It was it was sleight of hand, but it's still wrong. It's just as wrong as killing them.
Okay. And I understand that's wrong. What I'm saying is, trust me, I was in the military and I've been in those places. You know what I'm saying? In some of those places. So, you know, I saw how people live. I saw how Africans are treated in France. You know what I'm saying? In France, Africa.
So talk to us about it, because I wasn't there. Give us a more of a perspective because he was there. Talk to us.
Yes, it's a deep racial thing in France where to the point where you, as you are African, you're treated like, you're treated not just a criminal, you're treated like a dog. You call racial slurs. You look at the Italian soccer player who's like, I want to go to Africa and we start our own. All of rich black soccer players, because they're in every stadium in Europe and in anywhere, France, whatever, they are racially discriminated against. So they're fighting that fight. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, here in America, the people that our culture, us black people, the culture that they watch, they've never seen us like this. The only culture they've seen of us is rap videos and this and that, and they might see, you know, some of the gang banging and some of the negative things, but to be able to see
young black
Americans,
Japanese.
Again, the last Miss Universe was half Japanese. The last Miss Universe was black and Japanese.
5 minutes, guys.
Okay. So, again, we got a lot of disparity going on while we're trying to perform alignment, and we cannot perform alignment until we define what it is for us. I like having these conversations. Network says we got 5 minutes. Let's go around the table for closing comments from everybody, starting with Ms. Clark, please.
Well, it's an honor to be here. You know, I just love you guys. And it's an honor to be here, and everybody on the panel. I hope that we meet in person. If we're not on each other's page, please let's get on each other's page. I think that this is one of the most horrific things. Not one of the most, because I mean we have Emmett Till, we have the killing of Martin Luther King, but it is there. It is right there. And I think change. I believe change has come, and we're making it. And they see the anger, but they see the unity now. They see the unity because what you were saying earlier, they're used to seeing, you know, society as, you know, used to seeing the violence among, you know, culture within the culture. But now you're seeing a difference. One of the guys in Black Lives Don't Matter said, and I'm going to hurry up and say this, he said, let's stop all violence. Black kid, he's like, not just this, but he spoke on the violence, you know, among Black people. And I thought that was amazing. So the young Black people are doing their due, I'm telling you. I love it because they're not letting it just stay focused on, I mean, and we want to focus on what has happened, but they're taking it to another level. They're talking about, you know, a new day in America among Black people, among the world, all around. So I'll pass it on. Yeah.
Excellent commentary. Thank you, Rhonda awesome. Clark. Moving right along.
Okay, I guess me, I'll serve on. I'll get mine. Me, as a young Black man that lives in New Orleans and see a different perspective, you know what I'm saying, within the unity of a community, but still sees on the outskirts the racism and things that goes on. You know, and being in the rap industry and being able blessed to do what I've done in it, you know, I get to hear and understand because I don't label myself as a rap artist that's always about music. I push the fact of we are intelligent and we are aware and we understand. And to watch our young people, and I spoke about it because, and you know, Ms. Clark spoke about it, you know, it's so heartwarming. You know, to understand, because sometimes at times I even sat back and said, you know, I have to do more because this younger generation, man, when I get older, you know, what's going to become of me if I'm not in the best position possible? I put my kids in the best position possible because I felt the generation just didn't take as much serious, you know, and to see them stand up. And, you know, it's beautiful with the world unity and understanding, but I do know, like you said, change is here, you know, but we still have a long way to go, but we could shorten the curve. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look at the discipline that a lot of Black people showed during this COVID thing to stay home and not go out and party and not go do this and not go do that, and they buckled down, they stayed home. And I think that, I hate to say it, through that epidemic helped give discipline to the point when this came about, you know what I'm saying? They reacted, but at the same time, you know, they reacted in a coordinated way, because you watched it go from city to city to city to city to city, and then all these cities at the same time. And to watch that and understand that, and then also some of our best, and whatever field it is, they all have spoken. Even athletes that people say, oh man, they're not speaking up, they're not doing this. You know, they can lose endorsements because some of those companies that might pay them are contributing to that guy in the White House's fund. But they weren't afraid to stand up and say, the number one athlete, LeBron, who, you know, who I look at, who shows what I think every, you know, successful career Black person should do
he takes his guys and say, nah, you're not going to just hang with me. I'm going to teach you, and each one of y'all going to have a job, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And they all have flourished. He even stood up with all he had to lose and so many others. And people talk about Michael Jordan. He stood up strong at times where he didn't. And I think when our icons and then everyday 9-to-5 people or just our young kids who we thought was lost, they're standing. And everybody on this panel who has so much knowledge to give, and these young people are willing to listen. And then we're willing to listen to them. That's so great to where it's a start. And then they understand that they can't just come out and say, like I said on Facebook, and I'll end it here, where I said, okay, watch this new stimulus check don't come real quick and some extra food stamps. That's not going to work. It's not going to work because even our young people in our generation understood the $1,200, whatever that was disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. And so they're open and they're awake, and I think that's where it starts. And then watching old and young, you know, because at one time, old and young, black-wise, you know, I don't respect him. He don't know what's happening today, and that older person like you have no values. You have no respect. They're together. Yeah. Something we didn't say before we leave, I look at our black women. You couldn't tell me that they ever felt if things like this, say a year or two ago, things like this would have happened, they would have felt protected. They know they're protected. Our young men are out there, and they're out there, which a black woman has always been, you know what I'm saying, or a mother, a period, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's stronger and it's bringing unity. I personally know guys that haven't spoke to their kid's mom and don't even deal with a hater. You know, they at the house now. They're checking, making sure everything is okay. You know, and let's get past this because we're at war right now, and I'm worried about y'all. We're, you know, it's becoming different. You watch social media, the disrespect from young black men to black women. You don't see none of those posts right now. Or young black women acting up and doing what they're doing. You see young black women that I've seen act a fool on the internet. They're now sitting there and they're saying, hey, my black man matters. I love my black man. You know, and that's a beautiful thing. And we have to move forward. And I pray we do. I pray everyone be safe and still be vigilant. And everybody on here who's very intelligent, please pass that knowledge on. Find them young people, the ones you know. Talk to them and say, this is what you got to do now. This is what you're going to do because I might be dead and gone, but you're still going to be here. This is what you got to do now. And I think that's going to be very important. You know, even the guy on here that was talking about the body and everything and the spiritualness within your body, the strengths of it, all that has to be passed on. All that has to make these young these people understand who they are inside to be able to be stronger outside. And we do have to do that. We have to pass it on. We have to, not just our son, our son's friend, who daddy is not there, who's not around. Take that young man, start helping him, start being there, catch a young man or two, three young men that don't have fathers and get to them now. You know what I'm saying? We have to reel them in at the same time. They've shown their heart. Yeah, they have showed their heart.
We want to say thank you for coming on and participating on the panel. Moving right along with closing commentary because we don't have a whole lot of
come
time.
Come on, son. Let's see what you got to say, brother.
Come on, son. No, we needed that. But please, next, moving right along.
Son? Hello?
She's still with us.
Yo.
Is Randy Gill still with us?
I don't know if they're still with us. Well, I'm going to say this. And this is just me talking. I think we need to come together and do a song. Everybody was on a panel discussion. Mr. Servo, Randy Gill, Rhonda Clark, everybody. Son, we need to do a collaboration song, an uplifting, positive song. It's about time. We're all in the industry. Come together and do something big.
I think it will be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm down for the idea.
You know, it's maybe it's time for We Are the World for our world. And not the world as whole. It's time for our We Are the World for our world.
And maybe that's right. It has to be recreated.
Right. And the unity I was talking about, when I say unity, I know I'm talking about the world, but I was talking about Black people when, you know, they saw the anger, maybe how they see the unity among Black people. It's like, no, enough is enough. We're not taking it. That's done. That's over. That's not going to happen. And they see that now. They see us saying, no more. And I thank God for everybody else joining in, you know, around the world. Because change has to come. Has to come.
Definitely.
Again,
thank you, Randy Clark.
Yeah. Hey,
let's do a song.
You guys
thank
know
you everybody. And Joe Montaldo, closing commentary. Where
go
are
ahead,
you
Joe.
Oh, no, y'all on y'all's own.
Go ahead and say something, man.
No, I'm out here, guys. But it was a great show, and it's going to be posted up. It ought to do quite well, guys. I had a nice audience logged in listening to y'all tonight. So, we'll get some influence. How many people picked this up live in the city? I'm kind of curious because there was actually a protest going on today while this show was airing. So, I'm not sure how much of it got picked up or not. So, downtown, the New Orleans has been named like two a day because we don't have any curfews anymore. It's full open down here, except New Orleans itself's a little tight, but the rest of the state's pretty well opened up now. So they're not too much in the way of restrictions. Mississippi, it's weird. You don't see any Black people protesting, all white people protesting. It's just strange. It's weird looking. And y'all don't take this the wrong way, but seeing a bunch of rednecks holding the Black Lives Matter thing just kind of weirds me out a little bit for some reason or another. It's just there's something about that whole image that bothers me. I know it's a good in the right direction, but it's something about it just bothers me. It looks weird. It's just strange.
If y'all can make you feel better, I'm going to get a bunch of Black people together and we're going to make signs that says, stop killing the blue.
Well, on the Gulf Coast, it's fine. But see, for some reason, like in Hattiesburg and Jackson, you just don't see anybody out there protesting unless they're white. And it just bothers me. I'm just like, makes me wonder if they don't feel safe to get out there and protest. That's really the question. And I've actually called some radio people in Jackson, and friends of mine. I said, I said, is it so dangerous up there that Blacks are scared to protest? He said, Joe, they protest for other things. He said, they're just not coming out for BLM. And I'm like, oh, man, so I'm not believing that. He said, believe what you want. He said, I'll send you videos of protests up here. He said, they're just not coming out for this for some reason. I'm at a loss.
Well,
I have
again,
no idea. Something going on that we're not hearing about or something.
I'm a northerner, so, you know, I'm not from down there. Now, being a northerner, I could see me inside the house looking through the blinds, shivering, going, what the white people said. Yeah, what's on their side? Yeah, that.
It's weird. It's just weird. You know, here in the Gulf Coast, it's different.
Mississippi. Mississippi is still a pretty dark place, man.
You're not lying. Look, if you go above Hattiesburg, it's dangerous. And it ain't just dangerous for Blacks.
Yeah.
If you're not local in Mississippi, it's dangerous for you, too. It's just, they don't like anybody up there. If you ain't from Mississippi, they don't want you in that area.
Mississippi is one of them places still that even if I drive, when I drive through, you know, I got my protection with me and I'm not really trying to stop to get gas like talking about it. It's a very weird feeling place. And you know what I'm saying? We've done shows where everybody come out, but when the show is over, you know, the police is out there. And when I mean the people disperse and go quickly and quietly still. And it's 2020. So it's something going on down there that nobody's really paying attention to.
If you stop like in Gulfport and Biloxi, you're okay. Nobody gonna bother you. But it's just weird. Once you get above Hattiesburg, it just gets iffy-giffy. Man, I don't even like going up in there because I got to drive up to D.C. sometime, and we got to go through northern Mississippi and northern Alabama. And it's just, I don't know, man. They're not real friendly to anybody up in there. They're just like, what you doing in my town? I'm like driving through gas. He said, you sure you leaving? I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving, asshole. I'm leaving your town. Just calm down, man. Calm yourself down. They're crazy. But it was like the first time I drove into L.A., the very first time I ever drove in. I stopped at a McDonald's to get a drink, and no one spoke English. I'm like, am I in the right country? Did I take a wrong turn somewhere? I still remember that. Nobody in that McDonald's, not a damn soul in there, spoke English. I was like, look at this.
No, man, he was in L.A., Joe. Nobody
obviously, I
was in
the wrong part of L.A. because I don't speak Spanish.
No.
Well, what the hell am I driving?
No, you got to understand this. Look here, man, and I'm not racist, but this is the way it is. Check it out. If you are Mexican, you cannot work at Taco Bell. You're going to take that shit home, okay?
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.